The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
All right, folks. Welcome to the show. Lord knows they'll try. Welcome to the National Intel Report. I'm your regular Wednesday host, William Rapilla. Tonight is Wednesday, March 15th, 2023. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org and smash the donate button and donate your entire life savings. Just kidding. Donate whatever you can, folks. Anything you can. And we appreciate you. We love you all. And thank you for supporting. We are 100% listener supported, as you know. And we can't do it without you. Ah, so we also have t-shirts as gifts for any donation over $50. And we will have mugs soon as well and coffee cups. So keep that in mind. T-shirts. You want a t-shirt? Smash the donate button now. Donate $50 and that t-shirt will be sent to you. So thank you again, folks. All right, I'm gonna get right into some stories. I'm supposed to have David Scorpio joining me tonight, but I think I sent my reminder a little bit too late to him. So looks like it's just me. If he jumps in, that's great. But I got my latest copy of the American Free Press. I'm gonna read you some stories out of there. But I'm going to actually start off with an article that was sent to me by a friend. Let me find it here. What did I do with it? I put it in. Oh, okay. I got it now here. Okay. Israeli firms. This is from Renegade Tribune. Hang on while it loads. It's taking forever. But Israeli firms pulled out $1 billion in funds before the Silicon Valley Bank closure. Okay, here we go. Loaded it up. Israeli firms transferred $1 billion from Silicon Valley Bank to Israel right before Fed seizure, March 14, 2023, from yesterday, by If Americans Knew. The Times of Israel reports that Israeli firms were able to transfer $1 billion from Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, to Israel. Israeli accounts just before the bank was seized. A quote here. Israel's two largest banks, Bank Leumi and Bank Hapoalim, set up a situation room that has been operating around the clock to help firms transfer their money from SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, before it was seized, to accounts in Israel. Over the past few days, teams at Leumi Tech, the high-tech banking arm of Bank Leumi, have been able to help their Israeli clients transfer about $1 billion to Israel, the bank said. SVB, the go-to lender of technology startups in Israel and the U.S., failed after depositors hurried to withdraw money last week amid anxiety over its health. It was second biggest bank failure in the U.S. history. More information here. There's a link. Israel's Haaretz newspaper reports that a good many Israeli companies had been able to get their money out in time, that it was clearly not the case for everyone, and that companies whose deposits are now blocked will seek to conceal this, concerned that any rumors might drive away customers, suppliers, and employees. The FDIC, which is the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, has announced an emergency bailout program that will pay depositors 100% of the money they had in the bank. It's unclear whether the U.S. money will go to Israeli companies. Israel already receives over $10 million per day from American taxpayers. The Washington Post reports, I thought it was $20 million, maybe. Okay. Well, the Washington Post reports, while the fund going to depositors is paid into by U.S. banks, it is ultimately backstopped by the Treasury Department and therefore U.S. taxpayers. End of article. So, wow, what a surprise. What a surprise, isn't it? Our greatest ally funneling the money over to them just before the bank seizure. Ah, what a coincidence. Must have just been a coincidence. Yeah, anyway. All right, I'm going to move on to a couple other. Here's another. This is a long one now. This is a long article in the American Free Press. Israel and America, the real election meddlers. The U.S. does it the old-fashioned way, but Israel uses modern technology. And there's a picture of this guy named Tal Hanan, kind of burly-looking Israeli former Special Forces. Tal Hanan is a former Israeli Special Forces operative. He is the head of a Team George, which has so far manipulated over 30 elections worldwide by hacking, sabotage, and spreading disinformation. Now, the very thing they accuse us of doing, right? Always accuse your enemy of that what you're doing. What rule of radical is that? I don't remember. Is it the fifth one? The 12th one? I forgot. It's Saul Alinsky's book, Rule for Radicals. Accuse your enemy of that which you are doing. That's just the oldest trick in the book. Comes to this greatest ally of ours, Israel. Now, there's an article by Philip Giraldi. Give the credit here. It's pretty long. It's two pages. Let me get it out of the way. I think I can squeeze it in before the break's over for sure. Okay, 13 minutes we got before the break. Handing out. You guys hear me? Okay, Mike. Am I audible? Okay, I'm going to take that as a yes. I don't hear your answer, but I'll go ahead and keep reading. Haven't heard otherwise. Handing out cookies in Maidan Square in Kiev as an incentive to bring about regime change? Why not? It worked in 2014 when the Senator John McCain and State Department's Victoria Nuland, as she's referred to by our friend brother Nathaniel, were featured performers in a $5 billion investment by the U.S. government to topple the friendly-to-Russia regime of President Viktor Yanukovych. Of course, one might suggest that the success in bringing in a new government acceptable to Nuland has not really turned out that well for Ukraine and the Ukrainian people, nor for those Americans who understand that the Biden administration's pledge to arm Ukraine and stay in the fight against Russia as long as it takes. Just might not be very good for the United States either. George Washington, America's first president, had something to say about getting caught up in foreign quarrels and entangling alliances in his farewell address upon leaving office in 1796. He said, "Nothing is more essential than that permanent, inveterate antipathies against particular nations and passionate attachments for others should be excluded. And that, in place of them, just and amicable feelings toward all should be cultivated. The nation which indulges towards another a habitual hatred or a habitual fondness is in some degree a slave. It is a slave to its animosity or to its affection, either of which is sufficient to lead it astray from its duty and its interest." Wow, isn't that the truth? That can happen in your personal relationships, too. Yep. Well, unfortunately, this is going on with the article here, after the quote from George Washington. Unfortunately, successive administrations were not listening, starting with the Monroe Doctrine and continuing with a series of 19th century wars directed against neighboring states and American Indians to achieve the new nation's manifest destiny as a continent-spanning major power. and the United States is still at it, though it now conceals what it is up to by preaching quote unquote democracy and wrapping the message in quote unquote woke progressivism at every opportunity. An interesting recent trip by a senior government official that was not reported in the mainstream media suggests that the game is still afoot in Eastern Europe. The early February visitor was Samantha Power, currently head of the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, and a familiar figure from the Obama administration, where she served as ambassador to the United Nations and was involved in the various wars started by that notable Nobel Peace Prize recipient. USAID, was founded in 1961, and it was intended to serve as a vehicle for nurturing democratic government and associated civic institutions among nations that had little or no experience in popular government. 1961, right? Everything after World War II that happened had nothing to do with so-called democracy, really. It had to do with world totalitarianism, any of these institutions that were started, I believe. Little side note of my opinion there. That role has become less relevant as nation states have evolved and the organization itself has responded by becoming more assertive in its role, pushing policies that have coincided with U.S. foreign policy objectives. This has led some host nations to close USAID offices. Within the U.S. government itself, it is often observed that USAID and the National Endowment for Democracy, NED, now are largely in the business of doing what the CIA used to do, i.e. interfering in local politics by supporting opposition parties and other dissident groups. Both organizations were very active in Ukraine in 2014 and served as conduits for money transfers to the opposition parties for democracy building, quote-unquote. Okay. Power, the person mentioned before, forgot the first name already. Power, who is married to another Democratic Party affiliated power broker, lawyer Cass Sunstein, traveled to Hungary on her diplomatic passport, but took pains to cover her travel as a routine bureaucratic visit to an overseas post. Hungary is undeniably a democracy, is a member of the European Union, and also of NATO. Power did not clear the travel with the Hungarian government and did not meet with any government officials. She took to Twitter to announce that her visit was to reestablish USAID in the Hungarian capital. Oh, man, I'm getting ADD on this article, guys, to be honest with you. So, I don't know. I'm going to wrap it up. Israel and America, the real election meddlers. So, yeah, let me jump to another one here. I can come back to this one in a bit. I'm going to put a little marker here to where I was. And you guys want, I'll come back to it. But I was just getting bored reading this long article. All right. I'm going to go and I'm going to jump over to a shorter article. This is pretty interesting stuff here. Trilateral Commission member picked for top spot at the World Bank by Biden. This is a really short one, taking a couple minutes. 6:13, all right, yeah. Joe Biden is stacking his administration with current or former members of the Trilateral Commission. Note the key positions that each of these occupy. Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State. Susan Rice, Domestic Policy Advisor. Mark Brzezinski, Ambassador to Poland. R. Nicholas Burns, U.S. Ambassador to China. Ken Juster, U.S. Ambassador to India. Wendy Sherman, as Brother Nathaniel often says, Wendy Sherman. U.S. Deputy Secretary of State, Jake Sullivan, U.S. National Security Advisor. Lael Brainard, member U.S. Federal Reserve Board Governors. Eric Schmidt, Office of Science and Technology Policy. John Podesta, oh, the creepy pedophile. Green New Deal spending czar. Why hasn't that guy been hung? I don't get it. It's John Podesta. Pizzagate guy. Yeah. Oh, Pizzagate. Yeah, that's a conspiracy theory. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's just a theory. Right, that never happened. Green New Deal, he's the Green New Deal spending czar. AJ Banga, president of the World Bank. When the Trilateral Commission was formed in 1973 by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski, they successfully engineered the takeover of the Carter administration in order to control the economic engine of the world, the United States. Anthony Sutton, and I thoroughly documented this in night. Okay, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Anthony Sutton and I thoroughly documented this in 1978 to 81 with our books, Trilaterals Over Washington, Volumes 1 and 2. In subsequent years, 6 out of 9 appointed World Bank presidents were members of the Trilateral Commission. 9 out of 12 U.S. trade representatives were also members. Now Biden used his presidential appointment power to pick Banga as the latest president of the World Bank, according to the White House press release. Quote here, today, Joe Biden announced that the United States is nominating AJ Banga, a business leader with extensive experience leading successful organizations in developing countries and forging public-private partnerships to address financial inclusion and climate change, to the president of the World Bank. Biden heaped heavy praise on Banga, claiming that he is uniquely equipped to lead the World Bank at this critical moment in history. He has spent more than 3 decades building and managing successful global companies that create jobs and bring investment to developing economies and guiding organizations through periods of fundamental change, Biden continued. He has a proven track record managing people and systems and partnering with global leaders around the world to deliver whatever results. My little Biden impersonation. According to his pedigree, Banga currently serves as vice chairman at General Atlantic, while previously serving as president and CEO of MasterCard, leading the company through a strategic, technological, and cultural transformation. Yeah, that's what we need. We need more of that. Banga is the perfect pick to auger in, like that's what you do with an auger bit, right? You drill through. It's like kind of what the Jew does to your country. Takes an auger bit and just like drills into it until it's just unrecognizable. Started. Banga is the perfect pick to auger in a new global financial system. He is a cybersecurity expert and former head of MasterCard. Born into a Sikh family, Banga was born, raised, educated, and employed in India, ultimately climbing to the top of MasterCard. For anyone who thinks that the Trilateral Commission has no influence in today's world, or indeed is still calling all the plays, they are ignorant of history and the depth of entanglement that remains this day. In fact, the Trilateral Commission still controls all economic policy within the White House, and they are intent on driving the world into and through the Great Reset into technocracy. And that is an article by Patrick Wood, and we appreciate that article. That's some good insights, great points he's making. Technocracy, the governmental control of society or industry by an unelected elite of technical, quote-unquote, experts. So, we got the break coming up here. We got 1 minute till about the break. Please give us a call on the number on the site. Go to Republic Broadcast and get the number. I forgot what it was. I'm still pretty new, so it's 512-something. Call in, or there's a 1-800 number. 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. Thank you, Mike. And 800-313-9443. All right. There we go. Good timing. And we will be back with National Intel Report. This is William Rapillum. Talk to you in a few minutes. Stick around.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
So, I was going to jump into the next article here. Globalists using UFO alien mania to advance the New World Order. Yeah, I heard about this. I haven't read anything about it, so I'm going to go through this here with you guys. This is a quick one. Let's take a guess how long it'll take to read it. I'm going to say 2 minutes. I'll say 3 minutes. 6:23 now, so 6:26. All of a sudden, UFO mania sweeping America after the shootdown of some unknown object in Alaska. NORAD. I forgot what NORAD stands for. N-O-R-A-D. Something. I forgot. Yeah, it's NORAD says it doesn't rule out aliens. Washington creates a UFO task force to investigate if it was aliens. A top 4-star general in charge of U.S. airspace says it isn't ruling out aliens. Well, this wasn't expected, was it? Not really. This writer was what? Oh, and this is Patrick Wood, right? I got to give credit where credit's due. I keep forgetting. Do that at the beginning. The writer was watching closely when Trilateral Commission member John Podesta left the Obama administration in 2015, where he served as counselor to the president. He is currently senior advisor to President Joe Biden for clean energy innovation and implementation. That is, he is in charge of doling out all Green New Deal spending in the United States. Actually, Podesta is credited as being the chief architect of the entire U.S. climate policy starting way back when he served as President Bill Clinton's chief of staff. Just take a second to just take that in for a second. Okay, so pedophile Podesta, Pizzagate pedophile Podesta, You know, these people don't. I forgot. Right, it was a conspiracy theory, and anybody who talks about that should be put in a FEMA camp. Okay, so we'll just let you believe that one at that. When Podesta exited his stint with Obama in early 2015, the Washington Post carried a story titled, "Obama aide John Podesta says biggest failure was not securing the disclosure of UFO files." I listened to the interview and heard him say this with his own mouth. What? The architect of all climate policy and the creator of the Green New Deal policies is worried about UFOs and aliens and having not released the UFO files from places like Area 51 in New Mexico? This struck me as being completely out of context, out of nowhere. I have scratched my head ever since. Until now, the UFO alien card is finally being played. That's pretty funny. The UFO alien nonsense has been brewing for a long time, and Podesta's name keeps coming up. In a 2022 article by TMZ titled, "Yep, I sent officials to Area 51 in search of aliens," Bill Clinton flatly admitted his search for evidence of aliens. Former President Bill Clinton made a pretty stunning and important revelation. He said during his time in office, he sent federal agents to Area 51 in Nevada to find out if aliens were among us. Clinton told James Corden on the Late Show, he and Chief of Staff John Podesta sent people to Area 51 to make sure there were no aliens. He also said he wanted a full briefing on Roswell. In 2016, Podesta's email account was hacked. NBC News reported this on October 13th, 2016. When hackers broke into Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman John Podesta's private email account, little did they know they were entering the Twilight Zone. There amid the grist and gossip about the inner workings of the campaign and some pedestrian tidbits about Podesta's personal life was irrefutable proof that UFOs were on the radar of one of Washington's best-known power brokers. Today, this Trilateral Commission operative is in the center of the Biden administration, rubbing shoulders with fellow commission member Susan Benghazi Sue Rice. Susan Rice, who is Biden's director of the Domestic Policy Council. It isn't too much of a leap to figure that the current outbreak of UFO mania has something to do with John Podesta and Trilateral Commission strategy to conquer the world for technocracy. Podesta pushed both Clinton and Obama to open up the UFO files, and now he is likely working on the Biden administration. The question remains, why now? First, it's a huge sleight of hand that masks other events taking place. Think staging of World War III, global financial collapse, another WHO-orchestrated pandemic, the Great Reset, etc. Second, it conditions the world for a unified global response to a new unseen enemy that can only be spearheaded by the United Nations. The key here is the unseen enemy, global warming, is unseen. COVID virus is unseen. Aliens are unseen. However, Trilateral Commissioner John Podesta is not unseen, and I would suggest that technocracy's war on the world is about to get a lot more intense in 2023. Well, there you go. Globalists using UFO alien meat mania to advance NWO. And we are going to be at the... I'm going to have time for another break, but I am going to say I agree it's a major distraction from all the crap they're doing. So, all right. We'll get to the bottom of the hour break on the first hour of the National Intel Report. This is William McCullum, and I'll be right back with you. Stick around.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Next story that I got here, it's a little longer than the other ones, but I don't know how interesting it is. House whips anti-cop Antifa son arrested. Representative Catherine Clark's daughter. Wait, son or daughter? Oh, well, we won't know probably because Rep Catherine Clark's quote-unquote daughter arrested during leftist anti-police protests in Boston. Already right now, this is such a tragedy. What's happening to our kids out there in the world, out there in the country, cutting off their, we've got a school system that is demonic and is telling them to cut off their genitals and permanently alter their life in a way that is going to likely cause them to commit suicide at some point. It is just absolutely staggering. Let me just go on. All right, Joe Biden and leading Democrats insist Antifa is, quote unquote, just an idea, while their own children participate in direct Antifa actions and protests. The transgender offspring of the House Democratic whip, who unsurprisingly appears to be one of the most, quote unquote, woke members of Congress, was arrested on January 21st, 2023, in Boston during an anti-police protest believed to be linked to the nationwide radical Antifa movement. The The far-left activist is currently facing a slew of serious charges, including assault and battery on a police officer with serious bodily injury, resisting arrest, and vandalism to a historical marker or monument. Jared Riley Dowell, the 23-year-old son of Democratic House Whip Representative Catherine Clark, who has represented the 5th Congressional District of Massachusetts since 2013. Communist Massachusetts, as Diana Ploss refers to as a Massachusetts, traveled from Portland, Maine, to participate in the anti-police protest in January. Dowell currently self-identifies as a female and as the daughter of Representative Clark. In mid-January, Georgia State Police, GSP, troopers raided an autonomous zone near Atlanta known as Cop City, which sits on the future site of a planned $90 million building to house the Atlanta Public Safety Training Center. The Antifa activists called themselves Forest Defenders, organizing under the Defend Atlanta Forest Coalition. They had been squatting on the property scheduled to house the Atlanta Public Safety Training Center in order to prevent construction and protest organized policing in America. GSP eventually moved in to clear the illegal occupiers, prompting one of the Antifa activists, Manuel Esteban Pais Terran, to allegedly open fire on officers. What? Officers responded, killing the 26-year-old activist. According to GSP officials, who are currently conducting a thorough investigation into Tehran's death, nearly, quote, 25 campsites were located and removed, unquote, from the property while, quote, mortar-style fireworks, multiple-edge weapons, pellet rifles, gun masks, and blowtorch were recovered, unquote. During the operation, 7 Antifa activists were arrested and charged with domestic terrorism and criminal trespass. Antifa activists have been squatting on the property since 2021, according to multiple reports, with previous arrests of activists taking place in the weeks leading up to the shooting death of Terran. And that's T-E-R with an A with an apostrophe over it, N, or an accent over it, N, T-E-R-A-N. Many of the activists traveled long distances to participate in the protest movement, including several from wealthy families. Immediately following the GSP raid and subsequent death of Terran, Antifa activists called for a quote-unquote night of rage and quote-unquote retaliation for the death of their fellow radical activist. Consider this a call for reciprocal violence to be done to the police and their allies. A Twitter account associated with the Defend Atlanta Forest Coalition tweeted, "On Friday, January 20th, wherever you are invited to participate in a night of rage in order to honor the memory of our fallen comrade." The following day, Boston police surveilled a group of roughly 20 Antifa activists, including Dowell, marching and protesting in Boston Common, and directly observed Dowell, quote-unquote, defacing a Parkman bandstand, a public monument dating to 1912, with spray paint. Dowell spray-painted ACAB on the monument, a common Antifa-affiliated slogan meaning all cops are bastards, while other activists placed signs reading No Cop City, a clear reference to their comrades in Atlanta who had just called for a night of rage and reciprocal violence to be unleashed on the police and their allies. All right, there's a little more left on this article, but I'm good enough. Move on to something a little bit, maybe a little bit more, I don't know. These seem sort of like ancillary problems to me, not really like real pressing stuff that we should be covering. Let me go to the front. So you guys, call in numbers. 512-248-8252, 800-313-9443. Love to hear your comments and get your input. If you've got something pressing that you would like to discuss, call in. We're just talking about everything today. I'm on my own tonight, and I'm kind of having fun. Usually I like having somebody along there with me, But this is kind of cool. I could just kind of pipe off and do my own thing here. So anyway, I'm going to move on to the next article here. It's called A Great Awakening, title of Culture War Turning Against Wokeness. I hope you guys aren't getting bored just listening to me read articles. I mean, I could sit here and comment and talk about stuff. The Antifa thing, I mean, what are you going to say about it? you got this kid of the... You've got this kid, this daughter, well, son, well, turned daughter, with a demonic-looking face, with their, you know, their head tilted down and their eyes staring kind of up, like, you know, in that demonic-looking way. Yeah, I mean, that's the state of the nation today. And they're protesting these things, but they're really working on behalf of the oligarchs and the Jews. So... Take what you will with that. All right, let me move on. Great Awakening, title of Culture War Turning Against Wokeness. Now, this is a white pill. Okay, so let's have a little white pill. This is a nice story. Okay, all right, by John Friend. And I've been meaning to have John Friend on the show for quite some time, but he hasn't been able to come. Several developing news stories are offering most rational Americans a healthy dose of much-needed hope and optimism. The intolerant reign of wokeness, the popular notion that everything about America from its very foundings is evil and all issues must be reviewed through the lens of race and systematic oppression, is facing major pushback. First, Lori Lightfoot, Chicago's woke Democratic mayor and the Windy City's first gay black woman to hold that office, was soundly defeated in the recent mayoral primary. Lightfoot's first and only term as mayor was marred by outrageous levels of crime and violence, stifling and tyrannical response to the COVID-19 pandemic, civil unrest, and constant conflict with the public transit agency, various members of the city council, and other elected officials. Lightfoot, a darling of the far left, radicals, hell-bent on destroying America in the name of fighting white supremacy and injustice, barely received 17% of the total vote count as the top two Democratic challengers will compete in the April 4th runoff, received nearly 34% and 20% respectively. Paul Vallis, the former Chicago Public School CEO, who received the most votes of any candidate, focused his popular campaign on law and order, a stark contrast to the increasingly disconnected and delusional woke messaging of fellow Democrats like Lightfoot. Demonstrating a sharp break from Lightfoot and Kim Fox, her scandal-plagued Soros-backed district attorney, vowed that his administration would have zero tolerance when it comes to violating the law or violating the Constitution. Okay. All right. Well, meanwhile, the Kansas Senate passed a bill that defines a quote-unquote woman as a biological female for legal purposes within the state, a common-sense measure designed to combat the gender insanity consuming America's public schools and universities, including their bathrooms, locker rooms, and athletic fields. In addition, Tennessee has passed a bill to criminalize anyone who hosts or performs in a drag show in the presence of children. Good for you, Tennessee. A move to halt the sexualization of children that has become common in leftist circles. On the social and environmental justice front, activists with the National Justice Party have held two successful demonstrations, one in front of the governor's mansion in Ohio, demanding the resignation of GOP Governor Mike DeWine for his bungling of the train derailment in East Palestine in early February. The second demonstration took place simultaneously at the Atlanta headquarters of railway company Norfolk Southern, which has done little to help the local residents following the derailment of subsequent environmental catastrophe. The rallies drew much-needed national media coverage and attention to the plight of working-class Americans across the nation. As the Biden administration pledges even more money to Ukraine, Americans are soaring on that front, too. Last December, polls indicated a majority of Americans supported funding the war, but a recent survey from PBS showed that today only 37% backed handing billions to Ukraine to continue the needless bloodshed. The American public is awakening to the neo-Bolshevik woke agenda and at home, and the endless warmongering and foreign interference abroad. And that is great news. And that is a fantastic sentence, isn't it? The American public is awakening to the neo-Bolshevik woke agenda. That's exactly what's happening. So, all right, cool. It looks like we got a caller. Let me see who that is. Andrea, we got two callers. We got Patrick in Texas first, and then we got Andrea in Oklahoma. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you very much. Speaking about Bolsheviks, that was Alexander Solzhenitsyn who wrote Gulag Archipelago. The Cheka is the precursor to the KGB. And that was 90% Jewish. And they had the finest limousines, the finest machine guns money could buy. And they set up these set of laws that are so redundant that you couldn't do anything. They used drinking with your friends with some nice tea and listen to some music. They would come in and say, okay, that's subversive music. You're saving this change here to overthrow the government. 10 years in the gulag. And if you're a woman and you're teaching your child about religion, you could be just 10 years in the gulag and you can't go home. I mean, that's just outrageous amount of laws that they just created out of nowhere. There's a Jewish thing there, but here in America, we have Alexander Hamilton Crowett, who started the first standing army and appointed himself in charge of it. And even the President John Adams said, who are you, Napoleon? And, that wasn't supposed to be their job. And Jefferson, came in next. He disbanded all of the Navy and just mothballed all the ships. And he gave the job to the militia. The militia was going to patrol their own shores and do that. But that wasn't going to work. So, the War of 1812, Rothschild declared war on America. And he didn't finish the job because he didn't count on Andrew Jackson and being so tough. And so he finished it up in the Civil War when they turned America into a corporation. They changed all their laws. They changed FDR, finished it, another Jewish guy. He brought all the attorneys, all of the law professors together, and he says, we're going to have military-style courts. I don't care what you call them. And so when the one guy, he got out of the service, he's an officer, and he's going to start his own law practice. And he noticed right then they had changed the pleadings from a common law pleading to statutory pleadings. It went in the corporate realm from the people. And it gets just proof that FDR did do what he's going to do. It's the same group of people. It's the Bolsheviks. And they get their dirty work by they have to have good enforcement. And so they have.
Right. So Patrick, fantastic litany of information that you just ran through. Let me run back through it and bolster some of it. And start back from your book that you mentioned by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was author of that book, The Gulag Archipelago. He also authored a book called 200 Years Together, where he documented the history of the Jews in Russia and in Russian territories there. Very, 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 very good book. And not published either. They didn't publish his book, 200 Years Together. Gulag Archipelago was published. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a captain in the Red Army of Russia in 1945, and he was given a tenor. You're talking about the 10-year sentence. They called that a tenor, T-E-N-N-E-R. Well, it's translated differently, obviously, in Russian, but we translate it as a tenor, 10 years in the gulag. And you're absolutely right. For the slightest violation of just doing nothing almost, they were needing to meet quotas on throwing people in prison. And this was a Jewish assault against the Christian Russia to kill as many Russians and work them to death and starve them to death and torture them to death. as many Christians in Russia as possible. And this had metastasized already from 1917 up to World War II in 1942, 43, 44, when the Russians were, you know, turning the tide and starting to come into Germany and win under the auspices of the propaganda minister Ilya Ehrenberg, who told the Germans to kill, kill, kill. I'm sorry, not the Germans. Told the Russians to kill, kill, kill. These were Jewish assaults, really, using the Russians.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, I'm going to continue. Yeah, thank you for calling in, Patrick. We'll be right back, folks. We got a couple more callers, too. We got Andrea and Kelly.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
So I was dovetailing off of just continuing off of Patrick's comments that he gave. He ran through some history, some real good history. Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book. It's an entry level book for red pilling on what happened in Russia and the Soviet Union after the Bolshevik Revolution, during and after the Bolshevik Revolution, when the United States bankers, Jacob Schiff, for example, Paul Warburg, funded the overthrow of the Tsar and his family and the murder of them, and then the destruction of Christian Europe by the Jewish elite and Jewish commissars that set up the gulags all across the Soviet Union at that time, 1917, early 1920s. And he mentioned the Cheka. That was the first, I think it was actually the GPU was the first, police state set up there. And then the Cheka. And then off of the Cheka, it morphed into the NKVD. All right. And under the NKVD, the Cheka was especially brutal, especially vicious, especially murderous, especially torturous to the Russian people, innocent Russian people, throwing them in jail for the smallest infractions, throwing them into the gulag. These were the real death camps. This was a real Holocaust that took place that the Jews committed against the Russian Christians, and it's not discussed. And just imagine the staggering level of criminality. Most people don't know about it, and so many people won't talk about it. Why won't you talk about it? Who did it? The Jews did it. So why are you shilling? Why won't you just talk about it? You know, it's what happened. It's what they're still doing to the world. If you're out there shilling for the Jews, then, you know, and you're not talking about it, then you're part of the problem. Okay? So talk about it. Say who the criminals are. Okay. So that's that on the, yeah. So the, yeah. So it's a really, it's horrific what happened in Russia. And so then, you know, what Hitler was seeing and was trying to avoid in Europe, because they were coming for Germany. They'd already attempted to overthrow Germany in 1919. And they were stopped by the Freikorps, who were German troops that came back from World War I. Fortunately, Germany had very skilled military, and they were able to stop the communist takeover. And then Hitler took over after that, and he really stopped it. And then we stopped Hitler, because we're controlled by these satanic parasites. We have been since America became a corporation in 1871. As Patrick was laying out, and he also went through, Andrew Jackson, who stopped the bank charter. See, America's always been struggling with this central bank system. Alexander Hamilton put it in place in the early phase of 1791, and we had the first bank charter. The War of 1812 led to the second bank charter, and it ended in 1832, and it wasn't re-signed. And Andrew Jackson was president that time. All right, we're going to continue. We're already through the first hour, and I'm going to take those calls that we got. Stick around, folks. Sorry, guys, I didn't get to your calls yet. We'll get you when we come back on next hour.
We must take America back.
We must take America back. Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.